strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from Theo to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good afternoon. We are here today to update you on what we know that is going on in the house of Big Brother Canada 11 here on a Friday. We're here to talk about what we got from last night on the daily drop that happened today. But it's going to be Thursday night after the eviction that we're talking about here. I'm, of course, your host, Taryn Armstrong. And with me today to talk through our new HOH is Pooya. How you doing, Pooya?
I'm doing well. Got a nice sleep in, woke up, didn't have a lot to look at. You know, I feel like with the Fridays now, it's almost like the inverse Oliver Twist where I'm not even asking for more. I'm like, can I have the same as everyone else? And they're like, nah, we give you half of it. We give you an hour 30 deal. I'll say this, at least it's after the eviction, right? Because my big worry was we were just going to be here today talking about pre-eviction stuff that just did not matter. So I'm happy with that at least.
Yes, yes. Well, we will do our best to give you an update on where the house stands, who the new HOH is, and all of that good stuff here on today's update. I can tell you that I did speak to John Michael earlier today. So hopefully that interview will be out soon, if you want to listen to what John Michael had to say. Lots of questions specifically about Zach and of course, like the mention of going after the guys and how he felt about all of that. Some good stuff there. But let's get into what we saw from last night. We did learn of a new HOH that has been crowned, and the new HOH is none other than DJ Zabo himself. Dan Zabo has won the HOH from nominee to HOH. Maybe not quite the nominee we wanted to win HOH, but here we are.
Yeah, a tale as old as time. You're on the block week one, week two, you have the power. But also, this is a double-edged sword because of all people that could have won it, we have someone who we probably know some of the least information about their intentions. So we're pretty much in the dark, folks, really. And I'm sure we're going to get into some conversation about that HOH and what it entailed.
Yeah, we talked last night about how it was very likely that the, you know, six muscly dudes were probably going to dominate this competition. In fact, I ran a prediction last night on Twitch after the as we were streaming the episode. I asked, do you think a man or a woman is going to win this competition? And 96% of bettors with fake channel points thought that it would be a man, and they were indeed correct about five times over. The the top five in the competition were Hope in fifth place, Jonathan in fourth place, Ty in third place, Rob in second place, and Dan Zabo winning the competition. Oh man, what a surprise.
Wow. Never thought this would come. Yeah, it was, you know, they're not even making it seem like there's a chance. You know, there used to be a time where we're like, you know what? These comps are great. There's equal equity. Anyone can get it. No, they took what is usually a bit of a crapshoot comp with a throw a ball and get the right points for it and made it an endurance comp and then made it an hour long. And, you know, there were discussions made, but if you think about it, if you have played any sport with a ball and hand-eye coordination and movement, you have a bit of a leg up. Add to that height, add to that arm workout, add to that. If you reach it high enough, you don't even have to aim really to get it in. It's wild. But also what's wild to me, Taryn, is that we saw the nets. It was like 50 points was like the maximum one, right? Mm-hmm. Some of these boys passed, like I think the top two passed 2,000, which is a lot. Because the first 4 minutes really looked like no one was getting anything to me on the show. So I really thought it was going to be a low score comp. But Fifth place was 1,100.
Long time. Yeah,
it is. And that's the other part, right? Is that if you are endurance ready, some people might have tanked out after 30 minutes. I think I would have tanked out after 20. So an hour.
I think Rob mentioned that him and maybe Dan were the only two people that didn't start walking at some point in the comp. I mean, it was a very like physically demanding competition, which comes on the back of another very physically demanding competition in the last veto competition that they played, which Dan and Ty also did very well in. We are going to get conversations in the drop itself of some of the women talking about like, yeah, we had no chance. We heard from Daniel about how he really wished that he could have won that veto competition because he would not have used it in order to protect JM. But he had no chance of winning it. This is where we are. anyway, we open up the drop here. Shania and Claudia are talking. Claudia says it's scary that Dan is HOH because they don't know what he would do. Maybe Dan would put up Santina, you know, for putting him up. She said she asked Ty if he thought that Dan might put Santina up because she put him on the block. And Ty was like, nah, he's not going to do that.
Dash the hopes immediately.
He was like, why not? Why wouldn't he do that? I don't know why. Ty wouldn't tell me. So again, like Shania says, the second I saw that comp, I knew we had no chance. It's really frustrating watching the guys just pop their balls into the nets. So it was really annoying. She said that Rob was practically in tears after losing the competition. We learn again that he was in second place, came pretty close. She says he was like holding my hand at the end of the comp. But they both agree he's not actually into her. The holding of the hand was nothing.
Yeah, it was just more so support in the moment. I mean, you know, initially when I heard this, I was like, come on, like this is ridiculous to feel this way. But then if I was doing it nonstop for an hour and lost by like 100, I'd feel a little type of way. I don't think I'd well up, but I think, you know, it's, you're putting a lot of work in. So
mm-hmm. We'll hear from Rob too later about sort of what he was feeling in the moment.
A little too much from him too.
And I mean, quite honestly, let me tell you, I guess I'll say this right up front because there's no real sort of addition to this knowledge. But in case you forgot, the previous update that I did, I talked about how Zach and Ty had a conversation about almost specifically this circumstance. They were looking at Hope and potentially Dan as two people that could win HOH that they could then influence to target Rob for them. So they, I would imagine, are very much still on that page. Dan winning means that Zach and Ty are very likely to be pushing Dan to target Rob, whether it's up front or a back door. Rob is in some serious trouble, whether he knows it or not at this point. So perhaps the crying was warranted. But Santina and Hope are going to have a brief conversation. She asked him about the competition, just a little bit more information about the competition. Hope says he was really upset that he lost as well. He's trying to do the math in his head. Basically, what happened is he went for one of the 30-point hoops first, missed it once, and was like, okay, I'm going to go for a for sure thing, and then only went for 10s the rest of the time. He feels like he was one of the most like prolific scorers, but because he only went for 10s, he only came in fifth place. He's very disappointed in himself. It was a mistake to do that.
I mean, if he went 20s, double it up, he wins or ties. So yeah, 100%, yeah. You know, consistency is great, but then if people are getting bigger buckets, you got to go for the bigger bucket because all it takes is one person to nail a 50 and you've done five laps to get the same score, which is not ideal.
Yeah. And as he talks about with Santina, like it's an hour long competition. Just because you missed the higher numbers a couple times the first few times, you have a long time to get used to getting very good at getting it into the smaller hoops. So definitely the wrong call to go for those low numbers.
And I think especially if you have already put time into trying to get the bigger number, the more time you spend on it, the more you should only focus on that. Because both, like you said, you'll get used to it. But second, you've wasted time. Now you got to go for that and just bank on making up for some lost time by nailing a couple 50s or 40s or whatever.
All right. So We are going to get a little bit of a conversation between Zach and Daniel. And of course, it kind of starts with Zach just kind of explaining how to play the game. You know, like this is just how I approach it. You know, I only talk to a handful of people in the game about game because you shouldn't overcommit. You know, that's just not my style to talk to too many people and overcommit, says Zach. Daniel says he doesn't really feel like he can talk game with many people himself. Like, he's close with Kuzi and Anika, but there's no real game there. So he's not really sure, you know, what he's doing. And he's continuing to play up. And we got this in a deleted scene, but he's really continuing to play up very, very Kevin-like. This idea that he's kind of like, oh, I'm kind of pathetic and I don't really know what to do. And people feel bad for me and include me in things. And in that deleted scene, it was pretty early. I think it was pre-veto, but you know, he did feel like that was working. And that, you know, I think he's continuing to play that up. One interesting thing about the conversation I had with John Michael today was that he mentioned that he felt like him and Renee were two of the bigger fans of the game in the house. And I was like, oh, so does that mean that like Daniel's really downplaying his super fandom? And he was like, oh, maybe, I don't know. Like, I felt like I was telling Daniel some things. Very clearly to me, at least, Daniel is really, really continuing to downplay himself, especially to people like Zach. And Zach feels very comfortable, like giving Daniel advice on how to play the game and stuff like that. Zach says to Daniel that he says, you know, speaking of Kuzi, the queen came after me. After that competition, she came up to me and she asked if I threw the comp. Daniel's like, oh, really? And they get him interrupted. But, you know, interesting stuff. Maybe a little bit of tension between Zach and Kuzi.
Just a tad. Now, I'm curious what he's going to do about that. I do think, obviously, they're so zeroed in on Rob that I don't think I'm going to worry about this. But it's good to file away for now on concerns if the veto gets won by somebody or something like that, of where that goes.
Yeah.
Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com. Since J&K Security Solutions opened in 1987, our attention to detail and customer service have been our strongest assets. I'm President Jeffrey Beckman. We'll always do our best to find the most efficient and cost-effective solution to every job we tackle. Whether it's security for your home or business, installing video surveillance, or being able to control your garage doors from your phone, we can help you feel empowered with simple and user-friendly technology. Let's work together to secure your home or business. JKSecurity.com.
For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com. For nearly four decades, J&K Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started J&K Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. J&K Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
Kuzi is going to talk to Anika. They agree. They'll talk to Dan tomorrow. Shania and Claudia also had agreed. We'll talk to him tomorrow. I don't know why this is. They're like, let's not rush him. You know, let's not rush. Nobody, I think, in the history of the show has ever decided to nominate somebody because they talked to them too early.
Yeah, I mean, Szabo got nominated because he talked too late last week. So it never hurts to at least get a temperature check. You don't have to necessarily talk noms. Just get some FaceTime, get some congrats in, get some lip puckering, butt kissy type stuff. Just get some in there. It's wild to me. And I wonder, because obviously we know this is a, for the most part, a fairly not too super fan of the game cast, but also combine that with the fact that the first week they had the first reign went longer. Could that have turned them a little more passive? I don't think they realize what a quick time crunch is. I heard some of them talking about how they assume Friday's a freebie, an off day. I was like, you don't know what's happening. So it's a mistake. Once they see those noms today signs go up, they'll perk up real quick today, I imagine.
Well, Kuzi says, or Anika says, hopefully, you know, we can say, hey, we're not comp threats. Like, don't come after us. Kuzi says that she had a conversation with Zach. And she says that he questioned her about her relationship with JM, and how, like, it seemed like they were talking a lot, stuff like that. So interesting. I don't know if this was the same conversation that Zach was referring to, but they both are, you know, describing conversations with the other that have a negative sort of undertone here. Anika says, be careful of Zach. And Kuzi's like, oh, yes. Who do you think Zach would be after? And Anika says, I think he might go for the boys. What do you mean by that? they start talking about who Dan might go after. And Kuzi thinks, Santina. Why not? She put him on the block. And Anika says, yeah, that could make sense. You know, but what we do know is that he is head over heels for Shania. He's like, really? Yeah. But she likes Rob. So we'll see. This, of course, is referring to something again that I think I talked about yesterday, which is that Zach said to Ty, hey, I planted a seed. I've been telling people that Dan has a huge crush on Shania in order to create tension with Rob. And this has spread like wildfire, and people like genuinely seem to believe it. Whether or not it's true in any, you know, degree, I have no idea. I would imagine there's a hint of truth to it, given that like Zach is close to Dan. And that's probably part of why it's able to spread so much. But it's very funny to me that this plan by Zach has really like actually caught on. Whether it's going to do anything for him or not.
Right. And that's the interesting part to me is that, you know, for all we know, Dan might have at one point said, I think, yeah, Shanae is like probably the most my type here. And they took that and ran with it. We don't know. But if they're also going to be trying to push the Rob agenda, it'll be interesting because then now with everyone having this info, are they not going to see it being a push from the boys? And are they going to see it as, you know, this is all because of Shanae? Like, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. It's like accidental seed spreading that could end up reaping some reward for them. But we'll just have to wait and see. Again, the most frustrating thing is that Szabo, of all people, is the one I know the least about almost in this house. So I do not know where his damn head is at. So I have no idea how to draw any conclusions. Mm-hmm. Shooting
well,
blind.
Kuzi and Anika both agree that Dan is not going to put up Hope or Jonathan. They again go back to Santina, just like, sure, it just should be Santina, right? But Anika says, well, have you noticed that Santina is all over him already? Flirting with him, you know, like touching him, all of that stuff already. And it's like, yeah, okay, great. That's what you should do.
Yeah.
You should
like for all the crap we've given Santina this past week, that is the right move. That is 100% what you should be doing.
Vanessa ends up entering the room. Strategy talk stops. They start talking about other things, which is kind of like the norm for Vanessa, unfortunately. She is going to get another one-on-one conversation with Koozie with some strategy a little bit later, but basically, anytime Vanessa enters a group conversation, if there's any strategy talk happening, it stops. The only strategy I've really seen her talk has been one-on-one with Koozie. So not a great sign here for Vanessa in terms of her sort of place in the strategic game. Next up, we have Shania, Anika, and Daniel talking. They, again, have no idea what Dan's going to do. And Shania is like, yeah, I don't know what he's going to do, but you know, I didn't even realize how close Dan and I were because everyone's talking about how close we are, but I haven't really had any conversations with him.
That's funny to me. Yeah. That's funny to me because they must have some semblance of a relationship conversationally, but she's like, I didn't realize it was that good. I guess it's pretty good. It didn't seem like she was shocked that it was spreading. And I don't think she quite realizes exactly why.
Yeah, I don't think she's realized yet. It reminds me a little bit of like when Tyler did his whole like, what was his name? Scotty's my best friend ploy in season 20. Except this was spread by Zach.
Yeah.
So this is again when Daniel says, I wish I had a chance to use the to win the veto last week because I wouldn't have used it. They talk about being really sad that JM has left. And they talk about a little bit about like representation as well and how like, you know, unfortunate it is that JM is gone. And, you know, Daniel talks about feeling, you know, morally conflicted about the whole situation because, you know, he wishes he could have fought more to protect JM. But at the same time, he's got to fight for his own game and so on and so forth.
Yeah, he did bring up in this, I think it was either this conversation or one more after this where another person was in the room. But he does mention that, you know, he contemplated throwing a sympathy vote because he didn't want it to be all unanimous, but then kept it because at the end of the day, like it wasn't good for his game or whatever, which I like the sentiment of. But the problem is I don't know how close he is with anybody in this room to share that, because in this house and the way Zach plays, I feel like he loves to villainize very quickly to get the target on you. Now, I don't think Daniel's going to have any effect done to him by saying this, but I was a little worried about this. Just being
I mean, he said it. Dan was in the room when he said it. And I, you know, Dan was on the block.
Dan was the one that got added to the room after. Yeah. Yeah. And I was like, dude.
I mean, I don't think Dan would like took it in that same way, because I think the way Daniel was saying it was like, I wish I could have given him a vote for my own morals, but I didn't because of, you know, the game. But I mean, I agree. I think that you definitely gotta be careful with even benign stuff like that. So Rob has a conversation with Jonathan, and he talks about how he got emotional in the competition when he lost because he really wanted to see his family. He was like, I knew this was my opportunity. Like, I feel like this comp was built for me. And I was like, yeah, we did too. So like, this was my comp to win. And so it sucked that I lost it. He was neck and neck with Dan, apparently. And he's just kind of talking about that. So Jonathan responds, kind of saying like, man, the one thing I'll take from this show is my friendship with you. I know how good of a guy you are. You know, I've kind of been on Jonathan watch, especially as this tension brews between Ty and Zach and then the Rob side, and how Ty and Zach feel like they've got Jonathan, but Jonathan seems to be talking with Rob more. So who is Jonathan actually loyal to? Who does he actually want to ride with? This to me, you know, and you know, hey, maybe Jonathan is like actually a good game player and he's like, he's really playing on Rob here and saying this sort of thing. Usually a player like Jonathan doesn't say this sort of thing unless he actually kind of means it.
Yeah.
So I'm inclined to believe that he does really like Rob, on top of the fact that like, he spends more time with Rob. He seems to be more comfortable speaking about personal things with Rob. I think that he is actually closer with Rob. That said, he still also strikes me as the kind of player that if Rob does get a shot taken at him this week, Jonathan might kind of be like, all right, hands off. I'm with Ty and Zach at this point. So who knows, but a little bit of an indication there.
Yeah, I think if there is an attempt on Rob and Rob stays in and the boys have a divorce, I think Rob gets Jonathan in the proceedings. I do think that happens. But also, if the train has left the station and Rob is clearly going to go, I don't think he's going to be like, no, I'm going to go to battle and campaign for this guy. Because, hey, he got the friendship that he's going to keep. So that's fine. He doesn't need to do more work in the house. I see him as more of a passive player. But if there is a true battle that's going to happen, let's say next week, and all of them are there, I think he sides with Rob.
Yeah, I mean, speaking of like really fighting for your bros, Rob is going to tell Jonathan about how dumb it was for Hope to be fighting for JM so hard last week, which maybe Jonathan will remember this week when Rob's on the block. And how they were both like, yeah, really weird. Why was he doing that? JM gave Hope his necklace before he left. Like, what's up with that? Like, what's going on with that? But you know, at the end of the day, they're like, look, we think we're okay with Dan, but you never know.
You do truly never know. You have to wait and see what happens. And my God, why are none of you talking to him? Please, someone go talk to him. I beg you. How have none of you talked to him yet?
Koozie has this, again, brief conversation with Vanessa. She worries, and this is, again, like, Koozie really, I think, she's got some instincts here. Koozie says, I'm worried this week is going to be another week of Zach making the move behind the HOH, which probably.
Feels like it's going there if you're not talking to him.
But she is hopeful that even if it is another move made by Zach, or even just like, you know, just Dan wanting to do something, that it will be another big move, because, hey, we kicked off the season with a big move. We get another big move. I think the implication here is that, like, let's get that ball rolling. Big move after big move, because we're not big moves.
Yeah, I mean, she's not wrong. And that's what you meant by the good instinct there, because I think obviously if Zach gets what he wants and Rob is the one targeted, then that ignites a war between them. I think Koozie's able to coast that through for a couple weeks. And, you know, I think she's someone who's socially been able to ingratiate herself with a lot of people in the house and could then gather an army to proceed into the second half of the game. So I love this from her. But just please talk to Zabo, just so I know you're safe, please.
Yeah. Yeah, would be great. Would be great. especially because I think with this, like, if we're going to speculate about noms, and we assume that Zach probably has a decent amount of control over what might happen, I could easily see like Koozie and Rob as initial nominees, or maybe even like Koozie and Vanessa as initial nominees.
To try the back door thing again.
Or like, given that Zach is not feeling super comfortable with, or perhaps not feeling super comfortable with Koozie, given that he was like telling Daniel, like, hey, she came at me. That could theoretically be a concern, but we'll see. Because Koozie does have good connections. I mean, she has a connection to Ty. I think Ty would not want her on the block necessarily. So, you know, I think that she's definitely got some ins here, but this is probably one of the worst outcomes in terms of HOH for Koozie in particular at this point. But we'll see. Ty has a conversation with Claudia, and by conversation I mean cuddle session, and by cuddle session I mean hand rubs.
Yeah, it's like when you're sitting next to each other and your arms are touching. That's really what it was. There wasn't a lot going on there.
Lots of silence too. Lots of awkward silence. These two continue to have zero chemistry in my eyes.
And yet they get 3 to 4 minutes of guaranteed daily time shoved in there no matter what. It is a very awkward showman's, flirtman's, maybe man's. Yeah, I don't see the chemistry here. Yeah. But at least they're happy. Okay, good for them.
Yeah, that, you know, she's no longer wearing anyone else's sweater and everything's fine. Claudia asks if Rob could be at risk this week, because she's kind of feeling like that could happen. And Ty says, possibly. How would you feel about that? So yes, the answer is yes, I'm going to make this happen. She says, well, it doesn't really affect my game if he's not with you. And he says, well, he's with Shania though. You're close to Shania. And she says, it's fine. I don't really, you know, I think Shania just has a little crush, but hey, Dan has a crush on Shania. So maybe after Rob leaves, he'll have a chance.
What are we doing here? What are these webs we're weaving, folks? Come on now.
Mm-hmm. So this to me was the biggest confirmation that from Ty that him and Zach do plan to follow through with what they talked about the day before. When Ty says possibly Rob could be at risk, how would you feel about that? You know, they're going to try it. Whether or not it's going to succeed will entirely depend on Dan at this point. Given what we've seen from him so far on these drops, he has very much like to the point that like he's been like, oh, Zach, you're saying I shouldn't use the veto on myself if I win? Huh? Like, we'll see. We'll see how much of a mind of his own he has. I'm not super optimistic at this point.
I want to be, but I don't know. I don't know Zabo like that. So we'll have to wait and see. It will be interesting though. I'm very intrigued to see where we go from here because I think it'll be a fun conversation, especially later in the week, talking about the Ty and Rob timeline and how we got here and the compounding things that ended up putting a strain on this relationship. Rather one-sidedly, might I add, because I think it's Ty fully zeroing in on him and then Zach, obviously, them being together. But I don't know. I'm intrigued because if they do put Rob up or outright, not in the back door, I think the house could be fun to watch. Granted, we won't see it, but I think it'd be fun to watch.
Yeah. Well, we get a brief conversation as well between Hope, Anika, and Daniel. And this, I will say, despite Anika's lack of sort of game knowledge in terms of like the show, and like Reed's not being great at times, she does, I think, have a good self-preservation instinct between like asking and getting Ty to play for and use the veto on her. She is now here talking to Hope like, hey, if you talk to Dan, will you speak for me? Like, will you, you know, tell him not to put me up essentially? And Hope is like, yeah, I got you. And that's good. I like this from Anika. Like, don't just rely on yourself. Like, also ask other people for help. And then if they help you now they feel like, yeah, I've done something for Anika. We're closer. And also it maybe helps you to actually not get put on the block, because if Dan is throwing out potential pawns to backdoor Rob potentially this week, and Anika's name is out there because she's already been used as a pawn, but there are people like Hope. I mean, Hope isn't the best person, but like there are people that are like, nah, not Anika. Come on. Like that's huge because it's not just you saying it. So I like this from Anika. I like that she seemingly succeeded in getting Hope to agree. It seems like it's not super hard to get Hope to agree to these kinds of things in general, but because Hope then goes on to say, listen, if we're both on the block, I'll use that POV on you.
Adapt,
and Daniel's like, nah, Hope, come on, Hope.
Adapt though. You got to adapt. Hope is the biggest question mark to me as far as actions go. I wanted to actually ask you about something we haven't talked about, but I don't know if we're going to. And this may have slipped my mind somewhere down the line. There was mentions of, because obviously Santina coming down now, there's going to be some people moving around beds and everything. Hope keeps saying that he does not want to share a bed with Koozie. And he says it in a way that he's like, very like, this cannot happen. Do we know why? Is there any lore here that I've forgotten about?
The answer is I don't know.
Okay.
I think there was like some kind of thing that happened, because people talk about like that thing that Hope did. Like, I don't know if it was like a bad thing, but like in terms of even just like personality conflicts, like there was some reason that Hope was kind of, you know,
down and out,
being looked at as a target from people beyond, you know, whatever. Right. Obviously, yes, he has a girlfriend as well. But I think you're asking specifically Koozie.
Yeah, because it was specifically the way it was like, definitely not Koozie, which to me was
right. Because like he's also talked about like Anika and you know, I mean, I think the girlfriend is part of it. I think, you know, I think that maybe there are personality conflicts that are part of it as well. But who
knows? All right. We'll find out more, hopefully, at some point. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that's about what we have for you from today, or from yesterday, I should say, from last night. And unfortunately, I believe that is all we're going to get from the post-eviction drops up until Monday. So we'll have to wait until Monday to see what the nominations are, and then what happened with the veto, who won, and then perhaps what they plan on doing with the veto. And then on Tuesday, we'll find out what ultimately happened with the veto. So until then, we're going to have to wait and see. But if I were to make a prediction, I would say that Rob is going to be the target. And, you know, will he be backdoored? I would imagine so, especially given how close he came in this HOH competition, and how fond Zach was of pushing the backdoor plan for JM. So I would imagine that they try to backdoor him. And, you know, who does Dan put up as pawns then? Honestly, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't know what Hope's relationship is with Dan. I know that Kuzi and Anika said that they didn't think Dan would put Hope up, but it would not surprise me at all if the guys wanted to continue to sort of like make the impression that guys aren't working together and used Hope as a pawn because of that. Or they might be like, nah, he's too unstable for that. Like, we don't want to have to be talking him down the whole time. Because if Dan nominates two women, I feel like the optics of that are weird. And I know that the guys are worried that the people will suspect that they're all working together. But they might also feel like if Rob is the ultimate target, then, you know, it shouldn't be an issue because, you know, we are targeting a guy. But there was a lot of talk last week of one guy, one girl goes up on the block from the guys. So it's possible. I think if a guy were to go up, I think Hope would be the most obvious kind of like option for them. You would imagine that Santina would be a good option for a pawn, considering that she just used him as a pawn.
Return the favor, yeah.
However, Zach might want to protect her, so that might not happen. But it does make a lot of sense for it to happen. Again, I would point out that Kuzi and Vanessa are particularly vulnerable. There was talk about Vanessa, last week, and how she has been suspecting a guy's alliance and that she reacted to JM's nomination. And so I could see her easily going up, especially because she doesn't seem to have a lot of other game connections. And then, again, Kuzi could theoretically be in some trouble. I think she's probably okay. But this comment from Zach to Daniel worried me a little bit, especially if Zach has a lot of power. So, you know, we'll see about that. Then you also have to think about if it's really 100% Zach's HOH, Zach and Ty's HOH, and they are really specifically targeting Rob, then an easy answer would be Shania and Renee on the block as two of his closer sort of allies with the women. So lots of options essentially for how it might happen, but the ultimate goal I would imagine is going to be Rob, as long as Dan agrees to that. Because if Dan didn't agree to it, I have no idea.
Right. Exactly.
Who he even likes.
And then like, a lot of the speculation, yeah, it's based on, is Zach going to be able to influence this HOH? And while the signs are looking like that's probably going to be the case, we truly don't know. So if he doesn't take to this plan, anybody can get it. Anybody can end up on the block. Anyone can end up in the veto. Like, we have no idea, nothing to base this off of. So I guess everyone just think of the ideal outcome for you and then light some candles over the weekend. And then we'll find out Monday, Tuesday, if that worked out is really the best way to go.
So that's about what we have from yesterday. We'll see. We'll see what happens.
We'll see. I hope everyone has a good weekend. Now, Taryn, in the TikTok interview yesterday with JM, as Tracy's bringing up in the chat, we found out that JM had accumulated some Wendy's rewards points and was able to bequeath them to somebody and picked Kuzi. Now, here is my issue. They keep phrasing it like it could be game related, but I'm no dum-dum. I remember last year being like, what does this mean? What does this mean? It's a Wendy's thing. So I don't want to speculate on it and look like a fool. I don't know how. Is it because JM was taken to Wendy's, or is it because JM did something in the house? Don't know. Is it going to be, oh, you get to swap out breakfast for a Baconator this week? Don't know. But I wanted to put that out there in case anyone had missed it, that the there was a bequeathing of the reward points. And I think that's going to happen moving forward with evicted house guests. We don't know what the totals are. We don't know if JM giving the rewards points to Koozie means Koozie has the most. We don't even know if everyone has points. We know nothing.
Yeah. Well, that's what we have for you then today. Of course, again, check out the interview I did with JM. Should be up at some point today, I would imagine, and in the podcast feed and up on YouTube as well. This is what we're going to try to do moving forward. We just had a whole week of daily drops being dropped, you know, in the morning-ish area.
Like 11 to 2 somewhere.
To the point where it seems feasible that no matter when they drop it in the morning, it is hopefully possible to consistently make it work to do the update at around 3 p.m. Eastern, 12 p.m. Pacific. So that's going to be the goal. That's going to be the goal that, you know, hopefully we can hit this time consistently moving forward. And you know, that's we'll have some kind of you know, safe haven in the chaos of this.
Yeah. Yeah. We want it. We want consistency, right? We want to give it to y'all, but if the show's coming in everywhere and nowhere at the same time, then it's tough to hold it down. But thankfully, hopefully 3 p.m. is the new home of the updates for now, lest something changes. But I feel better about it now that we saw the Friday post go up today and what that's going to be. Because last week was a shambles with the 8 p.m. and the midnight. So we'll see. Hopefully it's the morning. Yeah.
Hopefully. All right. Well, that's what we have for you today. Thank you all so much for joining us here. You can, of course, always find me over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, hanging out, watching shows, running predictions, like is a man or a woman going to win the comp? So check that out. And I've got some YouTube videos from Among Us going up. We've got the Last of Us finale podcast is up over on Post Show Recaps. And Survivor Stock Watch coming tomorrow with Amon talking about episode 3 of Survivor this season. So check all of that out. Booyah, what do you got going on?
Well, I'll be live tonight at 10 p.m. over on Twitch, twitch.tv/Booyah. It's our weekly hangout show. We get to talk with everybody. You ask questions, we have answers, and there's always lots to talk about, especially when all these shows are back on the air. So I'll be back for that. You can find me on Twitter at Booyahism. You can find me talking about 90 Day Fiance. I had Kirsten on with me this week. Good times. And then Liana and I will be recording season 9, episode 5 of Masked Singer today. So that should be out sometime in the weekend for you to check out. And then as always, of course, the lovely Chappelle and I host the Bel Air podcast over on Post Show Recaps. You can find that there. And if you want to check me out on YouTube, youtube.com/Booyahism. I've been putting out some exclusive content there. Feel free to check it out.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you on Monday, I guess. See you then.